Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Yud Aleph. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's Shiur three lines from the top of Daf Yud Aleph, where you will notice a diamond and double underlined, and a number 5 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating that we're in the middle of a series of statements made by Rava Bar Machasya. So we continue. V'omar Rava Bar Machasya Omar Rav Chama Bar Guyam Arav. Kol ir shegagoseho gevoyin mibeis hakneses. Any city whose roofs are taller or higher than the roofs of the town shul, l'sof chareva, its destiny will be of destruction. Shenemar l'roimeim es beis elokeinu l'hamid es chorvoisov. The pasuk indicates that one is to raise romeim, to heighten or raise the beis elokeinu, the house of the Almighty. In this case, we're referring to shuls. And through that, so there will be a maintenance of the city and protection from destruction. Vahani mili b'botim. The concern is regarding the houses of the city should not be higher than the local shul. Avol b'kishkushi v'avruri. However, with regard to towers and turrets, less lon ba, that they may be higher than the shul, doesn't bother us. Omar Ravashi, ano avdi lamasa mechasya delo chareva. Ravashi, who was the rov in Mechasya, in the city of Mechasya, he says, I will make it so that the city of Mechasya is not destroyed. The Gemara asks, v'ho chareva, but we know that it did suffer destruction. So the Gemara answers, me oso avon lo chareva. It wasn't destroyed because of the sin of having houses higher than the shuls. That Rav Ashi saw to it that the shul should be the highest location. The Omar Rava Bar Machasya Omar Rav Chamo Bar Guya Omar Rav. Here we have a list of choices of leadership from the more desirable to the least desirable. Tachas Yishmoel Velo Tachas Nochri. Better to be under the rule of a Yishmoel. Rashi says l'shamsho, to serve him, to serve a Yishmoel would be an Arab, velo tachas nochri, but not under the rule of what Rashi says Edomim. Edomim are Edomites associated with the Romans and their successors, the Christian Church. So the order goes on here. Tachas Nochri, better to be under the rule of the Edomite, velo tachas Chabor, but not under the rule of the Chabor. Now, what a Chabor is, there is a machlokis here, Rashi and Tosis. Rashi suggests that it's associated with the Persian people. The Tosis takes issue with that and says it's a nation that came into the Persian area later on in time. So, better to be under the Nochri than be under the Chabor. Tachas Chabor, velo tachas Talmud Chochem. Better to be under the authority of a Chabor and not under the authority of a Torah sage. So this might come as somewhat interesting here. So you realize that we're not dealing with an order that it suggests from most beloved to least beloved. Because here you have, close to the end of the list, a Talmud Chochem. But nevertheless, it's not advisable to be under the rule or under the servitude of a Talmud Chacham. And why is that? So Rashi says, Talmud Chacham im yaknitenu, if you infuriate him, if you irritate him, yanishenu. So the Talmud Chacham, because of his high standing, has the power, his high standing in the eyes of the Almighty, of course, has the power to inflict punishment on he who offends him. And then continuing in this list, Tachas Talmud Chocham v'lo Tachas Yosom v'almona. Better to be under the authority of a Talmud Chocham and not under that of an orphan or a widow. These are people that are considered extremely sensitive because of their weak position in life. And if they are the ones in a rulership position, or you're servile to them, and they are offended, so the Kodesh Baruch Hu takes personal interest in their welfare, and hence any slighting of a Yosem and Almona can lead to one's being punished. The Omar Rova Bar Machasya Omar of Chamo Bar Guya Omar Rav. Kol Choli Velo Choli Me'ayim. Here in this presentation, there are three categories. There is something called a Choli, which we can call a more long-term type illness. There is a Ka'ev, which is the second category. That's a pain. And then there is a Michush, which is something of discomfort. And each category has their most severe afflictions. So in the realm of choli, he says, kol choli velo choli me'ayim. The worst of the different long-term sicknesses would be one of a ruined digestive tract. Me'ayim has to do with the intestines and the digestion. Kol ke'ev velo ke'ev lev. Rashi says a ke'ev is something that goes and comes. And he says, "Kigon ke'ev shein, ke'ev maka." It could be a toothache, the pain of impact. So he says that of all of the different realms of ke'ev, not ke'ev lev, not something where one experiences ke'ev lev, heartache. Kol michush velo michush rosh. A michush is something lesser, less bothersome than a ke'ev, but it's an issue of discomfort. So any discomfort, but not the discomfort, head discomfort, headache possibly. Kol ra'a v'lo isha ra'a. And any misfortune, but not the misfortune of having to be married to a bad wife. V'omar rova bar machasya omar rav chamo bar guya omar rav. Im yu kol hayamim, yamim are seas. If all the seas were dio, were ink, v'agamim, and marshes that have reeds growing in them, kumusim, would be quills, v'shomayim yurios, and the heavens would be parchment or sheets of writing material, v'chol b'nei odom lablorim, and all of humanity would be scribes, ein maspikim lichtov chalolo shel roshus. There wouldn't be enough to record the amount of thought and decision that goes into leadership. The Rashi explains, Chalolo shel Rashus, Oimek Libom, the depth of thought required to be a leader. Shehu Tzorach Lios, Shehu Tzorach Lios Lolev Lekama Medinos, the emperor, the head of state, has to have in mind many different medina states or regions, lamas for taxation, hakotzuf, their fixed taxes, ulakamu milchomos, ulakamu shpotim, issues of war, issues of justice, akvakobiomechon, all of these decisions, and what goes into making them is all takes place simultaneously on one day. So the amount of thought and depth of consideration needed for that decision making would require boundless amounts of writing material if one were to attempt to record that which goes into a leader's decision making. My craw, what's the pasuk that reflects this? Omar of Misharshia, Shamayim Lerum Veretz Loomek Velev Melochim Ein Cheker, and the hearts of man have no end to how far it goes. Continuing in the Gemara, the Omar Rova Bar Mechasya Omar Rav Chamo Bar Guya Omar Rav. Yofe Tainis L'chaloim Ke'esh Menu'ures. Fast is beneficial to undo the evil decree of a troublesome dream, as is effective fire in Nu'ures, Neurus is a tinder material. It's very flammable. So just like a flame is very effective in burning tinder, so too tainus, a fast, is very effective in undoing a negative dream. Omar Rav Chista uvo bayom, the Omar Rav Yosef afilu b'Shabbos. Rav Chista says the effectiveness of a fasting to undo the evil possibilities of a negative dream is effective only if you fast that day that you had the dream. And Rav Yosef says this fasting can be done even on Shabbos. And of course, it would be a case of Shabbos where it's bo bayom, where one had this bothersome dream Friday night, so the fasting would take place on Shabbos, the day following that dream. And now we have a story to illustrate this. You'll notice we have a long marking, a maisa, that's encircled, the word maisa, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and a descending vertical dashed line. Rav Yeshua braid Rav Idi iklo lebei Rav Ashi. Rav Yeshua visited Rav Ashi, avdi le iglo tilsa, and they made for him a special type of calf meat. Iglo tilsa literally is a third-born calf, which is considered to be the very desirous type of meat. Omru le litoy mor midi, and so the host offered Rav Yeshua to taste some. Omar lehu betainis yasivnas. Rav Yeshua says, "Well, I'm in the middle of a fast, so I can't partake of this delicacy." Omru le, so they asked him, "Velo savar le mor lahal de Rav Yehuda? Do you not hold from Rav Yehuda's teaching, the Omar Rav Yehuda, loy ve'odem taniso parea, that a person can borrow and pay back? In other words, if a person had accepted upon himself a fast, he can accept upon himself to fast on a different day, so that you can partake of the iglotilsa and fulfill your fast on another day." Omar le, Omar lehu, so Rav Yeshua answers them, "Tainis chalom hu, the fasting that I am practicing right now is as a result of a bad, bothersome dream." V'yomar Rav Rova bar Mechas, yomar Rav Chamo bar Guyer morav, yofet tainis lechalom keish lenurus. The fasting is very effective to undo the evil portends of a dream. V'yomar Rav Chizu bo bayom, v'yomar Rav Yosef afilu b'Shabbos. It has to be done that day, even if that day happens to be Shabbos. So I can't borrow and pay back this kind of fast. V'im hischilu ein mafsikin. The Mishnah had mentioned that if one started the different activities mentioned after, these were at the time known as Somuch Lemincha, so if they started, they don't have to stop, and that means they don't have to stop for davening, for Shmoyne Esrei. And the Mishnah went on to say, Mafsikin l'kriyashma v'ein mafsikin l'tfila. You would break for Kriyashma and not break for Tefillah, for Shemona Esrei. So the Gemara asks, is there not a redundancy in this Mishnah? Ha tana le reisha. It was already taught in the reisha, ein mafsikin. One is not expected to break for Tefillah. If he started, and maybe he shouldn't have started, whatever activity it was that we saw in the Mishnah, but you don't have to stop. So why does the Mishnah have to say again, ein mafsikin l'tefillah? The Gemara answers, Seifo Ason L'divrei Torah. The latter part of the Mishnah that said that what seemed to be a repetition, Ein Mafsikin, is really referring to something totally different. It's referring to someone who is engaged in Torah study. Desanya, the Tanaic source reveals, Chaverim Shoyu Oskin B'Torah Mafsikin L'Kriyashma V'Ein Mafsikin L'Tfila. The scholars who were involved in Torah learning have to stop for Kriyashma. Now, Kriyashma, its zman is Doraisa. And we might also point out, based on a Gemara in Brochus, that said that Kriyashma bizmano, reading Kriyashma in its right time, has a merit to associate with it greater than Torah study. So it shouldn't come as any surprise that those who are involved in Torah study would stop for Kriyashma. But the main point is that, well, it's time is dictated by the Torah, where it says b'shoch v'chol v'kumecha. So one is mafsik for Kriyashma. However, v'ein mafsikin l'tfila, one does not break from his Torah study in order to daven. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Yishanu Elo Kegoin Rabbi Shim Ben Yochoi V'Chaverov Shetoyroson Umanoson. Rabbi Yochanan points out that this Tanaic source that says there's no requirement to break for tefillah is only regarding people like Rabbi Shim Ben Yochoi and his contemporaries, his equals, his colleagues, that their Torah study was their all-consuming preoccupation. That's Umanuson, literally is their profession or their trade, but we're trying to explain that what we mean by that is that their Torah studying was all-encompassing and all-consuming. They didn't have any other activities in which they were engaged in the course of the day. Avol Kegon Onu, this is Rabbi Yochanan speaking, bearing in mind that he was of the first generation and amongst the greatest of the Amoroyim period. He says, well, for people like us, Anu mafsikin the kriyashma u litfila. We do break for kriyashma and tfila as well. What we've done with our markings, you can see we've dashed, underlined the word mafsikin and tfila because the emphasis is on that point, that we do break for tfila. So that the Mishnah that says, ein mafsikin litfila, is a reference to people like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi. The Gemara asks, "V'ha'tanya k'shem shein mafsikin l'tfilo kach ein mafsikin l'kriyashma." Here we have a source that goes to the other extreme, that there's no stopping even for kriyashma. So what are the circumstances of this source? The Gemara answers, "Ki toni hahi." That source is speaking about a very specific occasion, the Ibur Shana. Ibur Shana is the calculation process in order to determine whether the Jewish calendar of a given year needs to have an added month to it. And that is a very pressing issue because it has an effect. This calculation and determination has an effect on the entire year. When will the holidays come out? So when they are engaged in this calculation process known as Ibur Shana, they do not stop even for Kriyashma. The Omar Rav Ado Bar Avo V'chein Tonu Sabi de Gronya, Rav Ado says, and the sages of Hegronia teach as well, Omar Rav Elozer Bar Tzadok, Kishoinu Oiskin B'Ibur Hashana B'Yavne, when we were involved with Ibur Shana, the calculations for extending a year in the city of Yavne, Lo Hoyinu Mafsikin Lo L'Kriyashma V'Lo L'Tfila. Notice with our markings, we've dashed underlined the expression Ibur Shana, and the point here that we weren't mafsik, not for kriyashma. We emphasize that because this is the chidush. Whereas for everything else, even people who were torosu nosen would stop for kriyashma, not if you're involved with the calculations for Ibur Shana. We continue now with the Mishnah. This Mishnah deals with the restrictions of going out on Erev Shabbos on Friday afternoon, maybe we could say Friday late afternoon, with different items that you are carrying with you or in your... you'll see from the examples of the Mishnah why... one shouldn't do this. Lo yetzei hachayot b'machtoi samach l'chashecha. The tailor should not go out with his needle near the onset of Shabbos. No, he's going outdoors. He would. This is describing a case where he would be walking out of his house on Friday afternoon, close to the onset of Shabbos. So the Mishnah says he shouldn't do that. Shemo yishkach v'yetzei. He might forget and go out with it on Shabbos. Veloha lablor bekumoso. And likewise, the lablor is a scribe, should not go out with his quill. Velo yifale es kelov. The Mishnah here deals with another area of restriction. This is not directly associated with hoitzah. This is the removal of lice. Yefala is the process of removing lice from one's clothing. Velo yefala is kelov, velo yikur liur haner. One should not engage in the removal of lice, nor reading in candle light. With regard to reading in candlelight, The problem is that if the wick starts to flicker, so one may come to tilt the oil lamp, and by tilting it that and causing the light, the wick, to burn more brightly, he is guilty of mav ir b'Shabbos. That has to do with causing burning on Shabbos, fire production on Shabbos. Be'emes omru hachazon roya hechon tinoikos kurin avohu lo yikra. Well, look in Rashi, who has two pshatim on what this is referring to. Rashi says hachazon. So the first pshat is chazon haknesis, the person who is in charge of the Torah reading in the shul, may be in charge of other activities as well. Hamakri shiva hakorim b'Torah. He calls up to the Torah the seven people that are called for their aliyas in the Torah reading. Upamim shenu yodea heichon tzrichen likros lemochar. There are times where where he doesn't know where to start the Torah reading from in the Torah scroll. V'roya heichon kurin tinoikis shel beis rabban b'shabazu, and he sees or notices where the children who would learn in the community and they would learn in shuls where they are reading. The children would learn every week their Torah learning. We'll say aligned with the week's Torah portion. So he would notice where the children are reading from in the Torah. Vehein koren b'seder leor haner b'beis hakneses v'yodea shehi parsha shel Shabbazu. The children, as we said, learn the parsha of the Shavua, and the Chazan HaKnesses would notice where they are holding and would know from that point to begin the calling up of the people tomorrow in the shul. Lishna Achrina, Chazan Malami Tinokus. The Lishna Achrina is that the Chazan is an elementary school teacher. He teaches the children. The Roya Hechon Yaschilu Lemochar, the Hechon Yisaimu Parshiyosein, and he looks in the Torah to determine where they will begin and end their study of the Torah on the next day. So the Mishnah describes the Chazan Haknet. The Chazan looks where the children are holding, but he doesn't. He basically notices where to start the Torah reading from, but he doesn't read the words. The Mishnah goes on. Kayotse bo. Kayotse bo means similarly, and this has a reference to creating a harchoka, the idea of creating distancing oneself from sin. So even though this section of the Mishnah has nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos per se, it is related in the sense of we make rules to keep people away from sin, to distance them. It's called Harchokis. Kayotse bo, lo yochal hazav im azova, v'tnei ergel avera. A zav, and Rashi says it's not restricted to a zav, but it's certainly a person who's Torah should not eat together with a zava. Let us assume that we're talking about a husband and wife for simplicity, so that a man should not eat together with his wife. That is a zava. A zava is a woman who is experiencing a certain type of blood flow which renders her to be Tameom and forbidden in intimacy. So the Mishnah is saying they should not eat together, because once they eat together, that could lead to them becoming especially attracted to one another and leading to intimacy. The Mishnah, the Gemara, that is Tanan Hosam. The Tanaic source says Lo Yamoid Odom Birshus Hayochid V'Yishte Birshus Harabim. A person should not stand in a private domain and lean over into a public domain to drink. Let us look at the Rashi. Lo yamod adam birshus hayochid v'yoshit piv v'roshu birshus harabim. Yoshit is to stretch out his mouth and head into a public thoroughfare. Le'achoyz kli v'lishtois. And while stretched over into a public thoroughfare, he would be holding a cup held to his mouth and drink. Why should one not do that? Gzeiro shemo yoytzi hakli elov v'nimsum ischayev chatos. because of the fear that he might draw the cup to where he is actually standing. And he's standing in a private domain. So that if he bends over into a public domain where there is a cup resting and filled with water, he should not drink in that bent over or extended fashion, because he might just bring the cup back to where he is standing. And similarly, Birshus HaRabim, he shouldn't stand in a public domain, V'yishtem Birshus HaYochid, and bend over and drink from a private domain. Avolim Hichnis Roshe V'Rubo L'mokom Shu Shoyse Mutter. If in bending over to the other domain, the place other than where his feet are planted, if his head and his and the majority of his body is in that place that the drink is located, so then that would be okay. The Gemara continues in this Tanaic source at the very top of Omer Beis and says, V'chein begas, and likewise with regard to a press. A gas is a wine press. The Gemara asks, we should just point out that this V'chein begas expression will be the subject of discussion in the Gemara itself. Ibayalho, the Gemara asks, Carmelis Mai. The source we just read dealt with one bending over from one domain into another when one was a Rishus HaRab and the other was a Rishus HaYochid. We can describe those as Doraisa domains. Those are Torah-level domains, meaning that the transfer of an item from one of those locations to the other would involve a Torah level offense. What about if one of the two domains was a Carmelis, which we've seen in the past is a reference to a rabbinic type domain? In other words, it's not a private domain on a rabbinic level, that is, and nor is it classified as a public domain. So could one stand in a Rishus Ayochid and bend over into a Carmelis and drink? Can he do that L'chatchilo, even without Rosh HaVerubo? Or would we require the Rosh HaVerubo type extension for Carmelis as well? Omar Abaye, he. Abaye says we treat the Carmelis the same way we do the Rishus HaRabim, or the Rishus Ayochid. Rava Omar, Rava disagrees. Says he gufa gzera. If one were to actually carry something from a Carmelis to a Rishus HaYochid, or from a Carmelis to a Rishus HaRabim, that the actual carrying itself would be a rabbinic offense. That once again, the actual transfer of the item would be a rabbinic level offense. The anan nekum v'nigzor gzeira l'gzeira. Should we now arise, like Abaye suggests, and impose a restriction even with regard to the amount you have to bend over? In other words, according to Abaye, what comes out is one cannot drink with his head alone bent into the other region, because he might come to draw the cup back to where he is. But now, if the other region, let's say he's standing in a Rishus HaYochid and the other region is a Carmelis, even if he were to go so far as to bring the cup back from the Carmelis to the Rishus HaYochid, that itself would be an Isur Darabonan, a rabbinic offense. And there is an understanding that we don't impose a Gezerah, which is a rabbinic prohibition, in order to create a distance or protection of another rabbinic offense. Omar Abaye, Mino Amino Law. And Tosfos explains here what the question of the Gemara is, from where do I know that we do impose a gzeira l'gzeira? But Tosfos is very quick to point out that this Abaye is saying this only with regard to the realm of Hoitzah. From where do I know that even in the realm of that in the realm of Hotzah, as opposed to all other realms, that in the realm of Hotzah, of transfer of items from one domain to another, we do impose a double level rabbinic ruling. So he says, I know it, Dikotoni, it says in the source, V'chein Begas. This we saw at the top line. And we have a little star provided to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, which you can align with the star opposite that first line. You can see where this quote comes from. It said in that Tanaic source, which dealt with the bending of the head and the drinking, it said, V'chein Begas. My gas. What is a gas? In terms of domain, as far as Shabbos domain classification is concerned, what we're not asking you what is a gas in terms of the translation. Everyone knows that a gas is a wine press, but what's its halachic status? E rishus hayochid tanina. If it were a private domain, well, that was already taught in the source. I wouldn't have to tell you v'chein begas to describe something that was already taught. E rishus harabim, if it's a public domain, well then, tanino, that too was already taught in that source at the bottom of Omid Aleph. Elo lav karmelis. So the gas must be a rabbinic realm. And it says in this source that it is osir. So that we see that just like in the Doraisa realms, we're not going to allow the bending over of one's head alone. We're talking about Rosha without Rubo and drinking from the other domain. So too, with regard to a Carmelist, we will impose this restriction. Rava Omar, Rava's response to this is that V'chein Begas Le'inyan Meiser, the source mentions the wine press not with regard to the laws of Shabbos, but with regard to the laws of tithing. And there is an analogy between the laws of Shabbos and the laws of tithing, which we will attempt to explain shortly, but Rava's main point is that the Gas is not cited here as an example of a Carmelis. V'chein Omer Rav Sheshes, and similarly Rav Sheshes says, V'chein Begas, Le'inyan Meiser, that V'chein Begas is taught with regard to the laws of Meiser. Before we go into the commentaries on this, let us continue with a Tanaic source that touches on the topic of tithing with regard to wine. And the general issue is drinking from wine before it's tithed. Now, we know that untithed produce, which includes wine, is considered tevel. Tevel, and tevel is something that, in general terms, is forbidden to eat, or consume, or drink in this case. There are circumstances, though, that the nature of the drinking is called achilas aroi. It's considered a non-established, non-fixed type drink. It's called a snacking type drink, and that kind of drinking doesn't necessitate hafrosha, assuming of course that we're dealing with something that did not experience its gemar malocha. When is wine considered that way? So we're going to see in this source different shitos on this topic. Disnan, shoysen al agas. One can drink wine at the press. Bein al hachamin, bein al hatsonein, upoter, divrei Rabbi Meir. Whether it's been diluted with warm water or with cold water. The Rashi explains, le'inyan meiser, d'shtia al hagas mamish. We're talking about the drinking of the wine at the press, literally. Shelo okru misham lo tzio chutza. The wine wasn't removed from the press yet, taken out to be taken outside. Havya shtiyas aroi. It's considered a temporary or a passing type drinking. Upoter mi meiser kozman shelo yorad lebor shu gemar melachto. Wine is considered, or the drinking of wine is considered shtiyas aroi as long as the wine hasn't descended into the wine pit. This is a receptacle area after the wine has been, the grapes have been crushed, and the wine runs off of the press into the pit. So prior to it reaching, it's reaching the pit, the boar, it's considered not yet gemar melacha regarding tithing. Avalotzio misham, but if one were to draw wine off of the press and take it outside, have a keva, that would be the opposite of aroi, but rather an established drinking. She'ein b'daitu lahachzir amoisar, where he has no intention of spilling back into the press any leftover wine. Ve'afagav de lo nigmar malachto lemaisar osir, even though you're talking about wine that hasn't reached the pit yet. Nevertheless, it's considered, since you're not going to be putting it back, any leftovers you won't be putting back, it shows that it is considered shtias keva at that point. Now, Rabbi Meir has a very big leniency, because he says that even if the wine is diluted with warm water, and Rashi says, "Bechamin shemozgoi bechamin shuv eino roi la'achzir ha'moisor shelo yachmitz esayami machmas ha'achamin," one would not pour back the balance of undrunk wine that was diluted with warm water, because that would cause the fermentation of the other wine because of the heat, the warmth. Nevertheless, since you're drinking this al hagas at the press, Rabbi Meir says there is no need for tithing, even in the case of al hachamin. The next opinion in the source, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok mechayev, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok says that you are chayev to tithe. And Chachamim omrim al hachamin chayev al atzone poter b'nei shu machzir es hamosar. The Chachamim make the distinction between diluted with cold water versus diluted with warm water. If it's diluted with warm water, so then you have to tithe before drinking, because you're not going to be pouring back the balance. But if it's been diluted with tzonin, with cool water, so then you don't have to tithe. So what we would like to do at this point in the Gemara is to appreciate a little more what's the analogy between the issue of choytzah b'Shabbos, and the issue of drinking, let's say on Shabbos, while standing in one domain and your head bent over into another domain, the idea here of the drinking of the wine and the issue of the tithing. So let us glance, just to further clarify this matter, in the commentary of Rabbeinu Hananel that you find on the in the small type to the side of the Gemara. We've marked off pretty much in the middle of his commentary the section we want to learn together. Rabbeinu Hananel says, V'docha Rava dismisses Abaye's approach, where Abaye treated the gas as an example of a Carmelist. Rava dismisses that. V'yomar haide kotoni v'chein begas linyan meiser. The teaching of v'chein begas is with connection to tithing. V'ochi ko'omar. K'shem sha'oimer sh'sarav v'sh'sim sh'sayochid eino mutr lo lishtos elo im kein yachnis roishe v'rubo l'mokim sh'shose. Just like with regard to the laws of Shabbos, a person cannot stand in one Torah domain and drink from the other domain unless his entire head plus the majority of his body is in that other domain. She'im yishor lo mayim mutter lahachziron lemekomon. In the case of Shabbos, if he has, let's say, leftover water that he was drinking, he can put it back to the place that he had originally taken it from, because his drinking in his body, the majority of his body remained in the same domain. So any leftover water could be put back. V'chein begas. Likewise, with regard to the press. Le'inyan meiser. Einu mutru lo yilishtois min ayayin shebegas kodim she'aser. One is not allowed to drink from the gas without tithing. Elo im heim tzonein, unless it's cool, it's been diluted with cold water, shitochein lo lahachzir moser, where he has the option, the ability to put back the balance. So you see this analogy between Shabbos and the press with regard to when is there a leniency, an allowance, when there is a possibility of your putting back the balance, that which you didn't drink. Avo b'chamin shemafsidin hayayin, if it's been diluted with warm water, that would then ruin the wine, as we explained earlier. V'efshel ha'achzir ha'moyser, osur lo lishdos. He cannot drink from that wine, which is yet untied, shekivon shemozgoy b'chamin nikba l'maisiv osur. So, from the Rabbeinu Hananel, it's kind of clear. You see the attempt of the source to parallel these two halachas. In other words, restricted conditions under which drinking will be allowed. One in the case of Shabbos, and one in the case of untithed wine, and the same standard being: can you return if you're in a situation where you will be able to pour back the balance that you did not drink? We can also say, as far as Rava is concerned, that Rava does not accept the idea of making a gzeira l'gzeira. So at this point in the Gemara, we have triangles that appear, and you will see that these are questions on Rava's position. So the Gemara continues, Tanan, lo yetze achayat b'machtoi somuch l'chashecha, shemo ishkach v'yetze. The translation is that a tailor should not go out on Friday late afternoon with a needle, because he might forget and go out on Shabbos. My love, the tchuva loy bevigdo. Is it not so that we're talking about a case where the needle is wedged or jabbed into his lapel, into his garment, which is considered a non-normal way of carrying items, and that's called lo darkoy bekach. It's a shinui. And even if one were to walk out like that on Shabbos itself, he would not be involved with a Torah level offense. That would itself be an Isur Durabonon alone. And so that, what are we saying? We're saying you don't go out with the needle jabbed into the garment, into the tailor should not go out with the needle jabbed into his garment on Friday, because he might come to go out like that on Shabbos. But if he goes out like that on Shabbos, that itself would only be an Isur Durabonon. So you see a double level rabbinic prohibition. And the Mishnah says we do impose such a thing. That is a challenge to Rava, who said we would not impose such a thing. The Gemara says, lo, denokit levi yode. When the Mishnah says, lo yetze achayet b'machta, we're talking about a case where he's carrying out in the normal fashion, where he's holding in his hand. And so we're saying, don't walk out with it in the normal way on Friday afternoon, because you might come to walk out like that on Shabbos and then be violating a Torah level Isser of Haitzah. Toshma, lo yetze achayat b'machto hatchuva lo bevigdo. Well, here we have a source that says the tailor should not go out with the needle wedged in his garment. My lav be'erev Shabbos. Is it not speaking about on Friday afternoon? And here we would see then a clear indication that we do make a gzeira l'gzeira. We're saying not to go out with it in the unusual way Friday afternoon, because you might come to go out with it on the unusual way on Shabbos. But even if you were to go out with it tchuvalo bevigdo on Shabbos, that itself would be a mere rabbinic violation. Loi, that's not the explanation. Ki tanyohi b'Shabbos. This source that says lo yetze chayet with b'machto tchuvalo bevigdo is talking on Shabbos proper, that one should not go on Shabbos day this way. So that's a one-stage rabbinic ruling, the prohibition being, if you allow him to go out with a tchuvah lo b'minta, he'll come to carry out in the normal way on Shabbos. The Gemara asks, v'hotanya, lo yetze chayat b'machto ha-tchuvah b'bigdo b'erev Shabbos im chashecha. So here, once again, you see a kasha on Rava, that we do make a gzera l'gzera. So the Gemara answers, ha money Rebbe Yehuda he. This source with the tailor and the needle in the lapel is according to Rebbe Yehuda. The Omar, umon derech noso chayav. That a craftsman or an artisan that carries things out, his utensils, his tools, in the way of artisans, is considered normal carrying. Desanya, so that as far as this approach is concerned, if I'm not a tailor, then the normal way for me to carry it out would be holding the needle in my hand. However, if I'm a tailor, it's customary for tailors to have their needles wedged into their lapels and walk around like that. So that would be for them, and this is all, of course, within the Tana Rebbe Yehuda. Let's take note of that. That says, Uman, derech naso chayav, desanya, and a Tanaic source that features Rebbe Yehuda, but is preceded by Rebbe Meir, and we'll point out that in this source, we've dashed on the line, on the last line of the source, Uman, derech naso chayav, which you see Rebbe Yehuda as the speaker. So the source says, "Lo yotze hachayat b'machto atchuv lo b'bigdo." The tailor should not go with his needle wedged into his garment. "Vlo nagor b'kesim shabazno," nor the carpenter with the kesam, literally is a twig. Let's say it's a piece of wood in his wedged between his ear, between his head and his ear. "Vlo sorek b'meshicha shabazno." The sorek is a person who is involved with combing material, and the meshicha is what Rashi says. Meshicha hu kosher akotzim she korin that vegam es abeged tofer mechaber bo shnei roshin kishemoscho al yisedus unus lechofte b'maklus liskof esaro. So that this is a piece of material that the sorek uses in his preparation of material. So he shouldn't go out with the meshicha sheba'ozno, v'lo gardi be'iro sheba'ozno, nor the weaver with the gardi in his ear, v'lo tzabo be'dugma sheba'tzavaro, nor the dyer with the dugma, is a little piece of dyed material that he would put in his collar to show people how the color will come out. V'lo shulchani b'dinu shabazno, nor the money changer with the coins. He would apparently keep coins in his ear in the course of his work. V'im yotza poter avolosu, divrei Rebbe Meir. And any of these examples, if they did go out in the fashion we just described, they would be considered in violation on a rabbinic level. They would be exempt from a Torah level violation of Shabbos, but nevertheless it is prohibited. Rebbe Yehuda omer uman derech naso chayav. If, as the source described, we were dealing with the person who's involved in that particular trade or profession, he would be guilty on a Torah level, as opposed to the shakoldim, general members of the population. If they carry things out like that, they would be exempt. Exempt meaning from a Torah level violation. So what we've seen in this section of Gemara was we saw Machlokes Abaye and Rava with regard to, do we make a gzera l'gzera with regard to the dinam of Hitzah? The Gemara spent a lot of time attempting to question Rava's leniency by showing that we do seem to make zera l'gzeras, But in each case, Rava answered that they were not examples of Gzeira L'Gzeira. Until the last section had dealt with what about the case of the Chayat B'machto being prohibited on Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara answered, well, that's according to Rav Yehuda that says that if that were done on Shabbos itself, the Chayat B'machto Truvula B'bigdo on Shabbos itself would be a Torah-level violation because he is a tailor and he's involved in that profession. That's the way tailors carry needles around. So even that is not an example of a Gzeira L'Gzeira. We continue in the Gemara dealing with halachas of Hoitzah, and what we see here is we have two Tanaic sources that are pitted one against the other, and under the our Nosei Mivneh heading we feature this and a diamond that appears in the Gemara. These are Tshuvos Liyashev Shnei Brises, answers to resolve two Tanaic sources regarding Lo Yetze Hazov B'Kiso. Be'echod kotoni poter avaloser. In one of them, it says that if a zav goes out with his kis, which we'll explain shortly, is involved with a rabbinic level offense. And ubasheni, in the second source, it says chayav chatas, which would place it on a Torah level offense. In addition to that marking, we will see a trapezoid form that assumes a flip-flop direction as you scan down the page. This is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give-and-take style of the Gemara, where the narrower part is facing upwards. This represents a response, and where it's flipped over, it represents a question. So in looking over the Gemara, we have two sources that seem to be contradictory. And then the diamonds represent different ways of resolving these two sources. A word about the Zav and his kiss. The Zav is a male that is having a certain type of emission, and in order to protect his clothing or for other reasons, as the Gemara will explain, he places a type of pouch around that area of his anatomy to receive this particular emission. That's the kiss. The kiss is a pouch or an encasing that will go around the male organ of gender, and it will receive or absorb this Zav emission. The Gemara. Toni chada lo yetzi hazav bikiso. The imyotza poter avloser. On Shabbos, a Zav should not go out with this kiss to the public thoroughfare. And if he did, he would be exempt from a Torah level violation, but nevertheless, it is something he's not allowed to do. There's a Rashi on the first line under the Gemara that explains what we said. The kiss, she'osin lezav v'koshroi l'pi o'amo, it's wrapped around, it's tied to that organ of male gender identity. The kabel boy esazov, and it will receive, this pouch will receive in it the emission. So the first source indicated potter veloser v'tanya inoch. The second source says lo yetzei v'im yetzei chayav chatas. And we've dashed underlined the main points of difficulty for the Gemara. The second source indicating that there is a Torah level violation. Omar Rav Yosef. Now you can see we've started our geometric forms. The trapezoid form is an answer. It represents the beginning of an answer. There will be a give and take, and that's why we've used this trapezoid form to keep track of the give and take. So Rav Yosef says, Lo Kasha, the diamond represents the actual resolution of the two sources. He says, there's no problem here. Ha Rebbe Meir, Ha Rebbe Yehuda. Now, we saw these two names just above in the source that dealt with the Chayot, it was a tailor in the different professions, where Rebbe Meir was represented a more lenient opinion. so that the source that says that it's Potter Avil Aser would reflect the opinion of Rebbe Meir, and the source that says it's prohibited on a Torah level, Chayav Chatos, would be Rebbe Yehuda. So that you can see that the Zav, at least at this point in the Gemara, would be parallel to these different artisans insofar as that this is their normal way. Omar Lay, Omar Lay Abaye, here is a question. This question lasts a couple of lines. We've used a long question mark in the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text to indicate thusly. So Omar Lay Abaye asks, Amor Deshamis Lay L'Rebbe Meir, B'midi D'Lav Hainu Urche. Rebbe Meir may have expressed a point of leniency, of putter, when it's something that's not his normal way. In other words, it's not the normal way of a commoner, as a non-tailor, let's say, to have a needle wedged in one's lapel. B'midi dahainu urche mi shamisle, would Rebbe Meir be so lenient as with regard to someone who to whom it is his normal way? In other words, it is the normal way of zavim to have kisses in their on their bodies. So why would the source say Potter that he's exempt when this is urche, when this is the normal way of doing things? And that would be good reason to say he's chayav chatos, that it's considered a Torah level violation. If he does so unwittingly, he'd bring a sin offering, a chatos. The e lo te mahachi, if you don't accept this distinction, in other words, the distinction between the case of the needle and the non-chayot versus this case of the zav, well, elo me'ato hediot, a non-professional. Shechokak kav bebakas. Bakas is a piece of wood. Chokak's to carve out a kav. A kav is a measuring device. We call it a wooden measuring cup. Imagine craftsman. A non-sculptor, a commoner, would carve out of a piece of wood a measuring cup on Shabbos. The Rebbe Meir Ochinami Delo Mechayver, you're going to say, since he's not a professional, so he won't be guilty? Of course he's guilty. He made a vessel. The making of a vessel is an Isur Malacha on Shabbos. So that it's normal, it's the normal way, even if you're not a professional, but it's the normal. This is the normal way of making wooden measuring cups, by carving it out. So even if you're not an expert or a professional at it, you've nevertheless done something that is normal to do, and you've done it the normal way. So too, it's the normal way of a zav to have a kiss, a pouch over there, and therefore it should be chayav on Shabbos if one walks out, if a zav walks out like that. So at this point, we don't have an explanation for the source that says Potter Avil Aser by the kiss. Elo Omar Rav Hamnuna. This represents a response. That's why you have the trapezoid form with the narrow part facing upwards. So Rav Hamnuna says, Lo Kashin, the diamond is a resolution of the two sources. Kan Bezav Baal Shtei Rios, Kan Bezav Baal Sholosh Rios. A Zav, this is the male that's having these emissions, if he has had two emissions, he then, upon having a third emission, if he had two, and he becomes Tomei for 7 days, but if he has a third emission, he will then be obligated to bring a sacrifice. If he has had three emissions, and then there's a question of having a fourth emission, it wouldn't make any difference, at least at this point in the Gemara, because he's already chayav to bring a korban. So in the case of the Zav Baal Shtei Rios, where the kiss is necessary in order to determine whether he will be chayav to bring a korban or not, so he needs to have the kiss, and therefore the Zav Baal Shtei Rios is chayav. He needs it in order to determine, as we said, the bringing of a korban. The Rashi adds, In the middle of the wide lines, toward the end of the line, you'll notice there's a dashed underlining, and we're highlighting this expression of Rashi, v'kivan d'tzrich aloi, since he needs it. We're talking about the Zal Bal Shtei Ri'ahs. He needs the kiss in order to determine whether he will have a third ri'iyah, a third sighting, which is mechayev him to bring a korban. So since he needs it, havyolei l'didei derech hotzos b'kach, it is considered his normal way of carrying it, and that's by wearing it around the organ. The Zabal Shalosh Rios, he doesn't really need it. Therefore, his carrying of it would not be of Shabbos level significance. The Gemara continues with a question. Umayshno Zav Bal Shtei Rios Dechayov. Why is it that you say that if he had two sightings, so his carrying of the kiss by wearing it around his organ is guilty? He needs it for his checking his status. Will he have had a third ri'iyah? Well, Zav Bal Shalosh Nami Mi Boya Le L'sfira. We squiggle under the boile, indicating that he really needs it. Boile is he needs it. The Zav Bal Shalosh Rios, this is a Zav that had three sightings. It's true, we know that he has to bring a korban from already before Shabbos, because he had the three sightings before Shabbos. But nevertheless, in order for him to extricate himself from the realm of Tumah, which he has now entered, he needs to count seven clean days, seven consecutive days without any sighting. So does he not need the kiss in order to make sure that he has not had a sighting? So that, once again, he needs the kiss. Where do we see a basis for distinguishing between the two Tanaic sources that we had double underlined before? The Gemara answers, Loi nitzricha elo leboi bayoin. The source that says poter aval aser is a case where he had a sighting on Shabbos. His third sighting was on Shabbos, we know that he has to bring a korban. And as far as the Shiva Nikiyim are concerned, that particular Shabbos is not going to count anyway towards the 7 days. That's Bobayu, means on the same day. The same day that he had his sighting is a Shabbos, and hence he doesn't need the kiss in order to determine whether it's a clean day, because he had a sighting that very day, so that very day won't count as a clean day. If we look in the Rashi, Lebobayom, Ba'oiso Yoim Shabbos Ro Rio Shlishis, on that Shabbos day he happened to have seen his third sighting, Deshuv Eino Tzorch Lekiskel Oiso Yoim Shein Oiso Yomi Minyan Akiyim. That pouch is of no value regarding the establishing of a clean day, because he already had a sighting that very day. You have to have a day without any sightings in order to constitute a clean day. The Gemara asks, but still mi boyale vaha mi boyale, but still he needs it. He needs the kiss. Kedei shelo yitanfu kelov. Now you notice with our markings we squiggle in on the expression mi boyale again, just like we did earlier on this line, indicating that this is good reason for his being chayav. Does he not need the kiss so as to keep his clothing from becoming soiled? In other words, this kiss will absorb the emission, keeping his clothing clean. So that there is a miboyale factor here. Amar Rabbi Zera, Hai Tanahu. The Tana that says that he's poter aval aser, even though there's an element of keeping one clean, is this Tana's hold, Hai Tanu Doma Kol Atsuli Tinuf Lo Ko Choshev, that where you are preventing soiling, Tinuf is dirtying or soiling, it is not of significance. So which Tana says Atsuri Tinuf is not considered of significance? This non, well, we now quote a Tanaic source from a totally different realm, and we'll attempt to show the common denominator as we explain the Gemara. So the, by way of introduction, the this source features someone inverting a bowl on a wall during rain, so that one wants to keep rain water off the wall, so that for whatever reason the wall is sensitive to the water, and he's interested in getting the water to flow away from the wall. So what does he do? He takes a bowl and inverts it. Water that falls on fruits is capable of being machshir the fruits to makabel tuma, provided the water was of interest to you. You were interested in having the water. Even if you weren't interested in the fruits per se becoming wet, but nevertheless, if it's liquid that you were interested in having, so if that liquid, in this case we're talking about water, if the water hits the fruits, one's detached fruits, they are mukhshir lekabel tuma, which means they're now ready to absorb tuma if they should come into contact with a source of tuma. However, if you have fruits that became wet as a result of their contact with water that you were not interested in, you weren't interested in the water there in the first place, so water like that would not machshir the fruits to become tomei. The term for hechshir lekabel tuma is what's called kiyutan. This is based on a pasuk, and we will just leave it at that without getting into detail so as to reduce the amount of background information to process right now. But kiyutan is an expression meaning that the fruits are muchshir lekabel tuma. We established with regard to the Zav and the Kiss that protection from soiling is not of significance. And we're saying that this point is based on the following Tanaic source. One inverted a bowl on a wall while rain was falling. In other words, his intention was that the rainwater will hit the bottom of this bowl. If his inverting of the bowl was simply to have the rainwater wash off the bowl, so he's very interested in the water coming and falling on the bowl. Even though the bowl is inverted, he wants the bottom of the bowl for whatever reason. It's filthy, it's dirty, so he wants the rainwater to wash it off. That's Shetudach Hakor, then Hareize Bechiyutan. Then that water that runs off the bowl while cleaning the bowl, if that water then comes into contact with fruits, the fruits will become Bechiyutan, means the Mukhshir Lekabel Tuma, because you are interested in the presence of this water. The water has a use, has a function for you. It washes off the bowl. Im Bishvil. Now we continue with the Gemara at the top of Daf Yud Beis. If, however, the inverting of the bowl was shelo yiloka. So here at the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph, you can see toward the end of this source, if you inverted it to protect the wall, that's what we're trying to parallel right now. Is this is atsuli mitinuf, trying to keep the wall from becoming soiled or ruined with the water. So eino b'chiyutan, the water that runs off the bowl, if it then hits fruits, will not machshir them lekabel tuma, because it was something you were not interested in. And as a result of that, it lacks significance. Here, what are we describing? Protecting the wall. Isn't that parallel to protecting the garments? And just like here, it doesn't enable the water to gain significance, so too, the kiss does not gain significance if its whole purpose is to protect the garments. The Gemara challenges this. me dummy. And you can see with our markings, we're able to keep track of the give and take. Here you have the inverted trapezoid form indicating the raising of a question. In addition to that, you also notice the long question marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, the kuf that is surrounded with the inverted trapezoid and descending vertical dashed line. All of these lines form the problem or the question. Me, dummy. How can you compare the case of the inverted ka'ara to protect the wall to the case of the wearing of the kiss to protect the garments? Hasam, in the case of the wall, the focus is on the water. Hasam lo kaboi luhu lahani mashkin klal. There, the focus is on establishing importance or lack thereof of the water. Well, in that case where he inverted the bowl, he doesn't want the mashkin whatsoever. Haha, here in the case of the kiss, the focus is not on the liquid, that the emission, the focus is on the pouch. So haha kaboyi lahu lahai kiss likbule be ziva. He needs the pouch for receiving the emission. And if you want to maintain some type of parallel between the case of Hechshel Kabotuma and the kiss, well, Holo Dami Olo Seifa, if anything, you will parallel the case of the kiss to the Seifa of the bowl and the wall, where it says, Areva Shenitna, or Areva Shenosna Shiyere Delef Lesoicha, a bowl that was placed in such a way that the bowl was standing upright, where the dripping would land in the bowl, so that you're accumulating water in the bowl. Mayim hanitzin vanitzpin einon b'chiyutan, water that spurts out will not result in hechshel kabotuma. However, v'shebesoicha hare ze b'chiyutan, the water that is in the bowl is water that will create hechshel lekabel tuma. Let us glance at the Rashi for further explanation. Shiere delaf lesoicha. Mishni b'maseches machshirin ashnui achar aseifa da koifes ekor. This is a Tanaic source taught after the case of the inverted bowl story. V'achi tanan, and thusly it teaches. Areva shiere da delaf lesoicha, the bowl placed upright so that the dripping falls into it. Hinicha shiere da delaf lesoicha, placed in such a way that the flow of this drip would fall into it. Mayim anitzim v'hatzofin beisham ayorim b'chiyutan beisilmim eino b'chiyutan. There is a machlokas Beishamis Hill regarding the water that spurts out, if that's capable of machshel kabel tuma. Beis Hill says it doesn't. Not l'leshoivcha, he then takes this bowl that in which all the water was accumulated, and he takes it, carries it to spill it out. Eil ve'lu moidim, even Beis Hill agrees, shein b'chiyutan, that water will be capable of being machshel kabel tuma. There is what to determine from this seifa, from this end quote. Kide garsinam bisvarim nosta areva zu shira delaf lesoicha fagav latzui tinufu. He placed this bowl in order to catch the drip. He was interested in catching the drip in order to protect the area around it from becoming soiled. So you have a case of someone collecting water and for atzuli tinuf purposes. Afilu hachi midolo kafa, from the fact that he didn't invert the bowl, goli daite dachshevinu lekabalon, he had in mind to absorb, to collect the waters. Vavu chashuvin oisin shebesocha, and the water that accumulated in the bowl, which he deliberately did not invert, but rather position it uprightly to gather the water therein, creates a level of chashivas, of significance to that water, and giving it the ability to machshir fruits lekabel tum. As we said at the outset, water that there was some desirability for it, even if it's a low level of desirability, but there is desirability for this water by virtue of the fact that he didn't invert the bowl. That creates chashivus, significance, and it's able to hachshir lekabel tuma. V'hach oitzon ami, the carrying out of the kiss as well. Achshivo, he had in mind to use it lekabuli b'hai kiss ha'iziva, to have the kiss, the pouch, absorb the flow. Afagav de beziva lo nichole, even though he's really not interested in having this emission, he doesn't want the emission. Anan lechivi aoitzas ziva lo madrinon el aoitzas kiss. We're not focusing on haitza of the substance of the emission itself. We're focusing on the carrying of the kiss, and with regard to the kiss, he is interested in the kiss being there. So if that's the case, so then the source on Omid Aleph, on the previous Omid Beis, and Yud Aleph Omid Beis, that said Potter Avol Oser, is without explanation at this point. We thought before to say that, well, it's Atsumi Mitinuf, and that's why it's of no significance, and we thought to bring a raya from the case of the bowl inverted on the wall, but we said that's not the parallel case. But when you do find a parallel case with bowls on walls, and the bowls are positioned upright, so it is b'chiyutan, it has chashivus, and therefore the kiss should also be considered on par with that. So what about the source that says Potter Avol Oser? Elo Abaye v'Rov Lamit Ravai. Now you can see with our markings, we're in a response mode. Abaye Rov, they both say Ha Rabbi Yuda, the Ha Rabbi Shimon. The machlokus between the two sources reflects the machlokus between Rabbi Yuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yuda holds that a malocha sheinot tzricha legufa is nevertheless chayav on Shabbos. And Rabbi Shimon holds Malocha Shein Tzricha Legufa is exempt, is potter. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Ha Rabbi Yehuda. We're looking at Rashi a little less than halfway down the page. He says, this is Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar, Malocha Shein Tzricha Legufa, Shebirtsono Lo Teoseh, that ideally, the Malocha shouldn't be, whatever Malocha is done shouldn't be done. He would prefer it not happening. The Eino Tzorech Le'oker Tachlisa, Le'ikur, that is Le'ikur Tachlisa, the person here, it doesn't need the Malacha for its main Mishkan purpose. Ki hacha, like the case of here, Sheino Tzorech Leziva Zu Sha'al Yoda Bo Hakis Hazeh, he doesn't need the Ziva that is the reason for having the kiss here in the first place. And nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda will say he is guilty. Rabbi Shimon Poter, the case that Rashi is alluding to is the case of carrying a corpse from a house into a public thoroughfare. So that even though he doesn't need the ikur tachlisa, meaning he is not, it's not important for him to have the body located specifically in the public domain. He would have, in fact, preferred there be no corpse there in the first place. So that his carrying out of the corpse is a function of his not having wanted to. He's not interested in the whole episode taking place at the outset, but Rabbi Yehuda is of the stricter of these two opinions, holding that Malocha Shein Tzricha Legufa nevertheless is Chayav. And Rav Shimon says, no, there is exemption for that. And using Rashi's term, since he doesn't really want the Iker Tachlis, he's not really interested in the Ziva being there in the first place, which is the reason for having the kiss. So Rav Shimon says, since you're not interested in the original reason for the kiss being there, you are therefore exempt. And that's the source that says, Potter Avol Oser. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.